like this does for you, what it done for me. Studying through this, Kevin gave me ample time to study for this and to seek God and to find what he wanted me to teach this morning. And most of all, it's trying to teach after such a good revival. It's impossible to try to follow him behind a good man of God as he is, but I truly feel this morning this is where God would have me to teach from. And it's more of an awareness, you know, that the way things was, the way things are now.
Yeah.
You know, that if there's any one way I could ever give a title to this morning, it'd be one simple word, busy. You know, I know there's a lot of Christians, even myself, that people start teaching or preaching about you being busy. It can be a very touchy situation. And, but I just feel this morning that God, he don't want us for it to be a touchy situation, but just to understand what he wants from us and to give us an awareness to the word busy. You could be busy with God's word and your word and still be able to be close to God and walk with him. Or there again, you can be busy at Satan's work. And then all of a sudden the word busy can be bound under Satan's yoke and you not even know it. You'll be like an eddy in a fast moving river. You'll be on the sideline and everybody's going by you. You know, and God, I feel that he wanted me to go to Joshua this morning. Chapter 3 is where we're starting. I won't be just there. I'm going to be going through several different things. Like I said, I'm not really teaching scripture for scripture, but he laid several scriptures on my heart to be able to bring out this morning just how important it is to be self-aware of yourself and what busy and what work you're doing. Because as you read through Joshua, he's the one that stepped up behind Moses. And I'm taking my lesson this morning from 3:9 is where I'm starting. It said, and Joshua said unto the children of Israel, come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. You know, then is before the time of Jesus. And that was when prophets was needed. These people, God spoke to these people directly. Because at the time he couldn't speak to nobody else. He couldn't dwell. You had to really be busy at God's work for him to speak to you, to give you guidance, to lead the other people. And what I want you to see this morning is how Joshua stood up and the way he grabbed a hold of what he was doing, because this was a man of war. You know, before God called him to step into place, or after Moses, but not into place, but after, this man lived his life on the battlefield. If you was, you know, there wasn't but two ways for him. You was either for God or against God. And to stand in front of him and be against God, he was going to kill you. That's the way it was then. There was no, I'll pray for you or try to witness to you. You either lived the way God wanted you to live or you was put to death. Of course, that was the Old Testament. Thank the Lord Jesus Christ for completing the Word and giving us something new. But as you read through it, you understand that Joshua, he was busy about God's work, but God gave it to him. He told him what he wanted and how he wanted it. He told him in verses 2 through 9 God told him what he wanted from him. Told him what he wanted him to do, why he wanted him to do it, and not to worry that he had him. It was already planned out. God had done went before him to make sure everything was going to be just the way he wanted. And also told him to keep the law day and night. Told him to meditate on it day and night. And because he followed that and done the best he could do, which evidently he done real good, because the whole book of Joshua, he done great things. But the main thing is God gave it to him that as they crossed the River Jordan, there you read again that they crossed on dry land. And for God to split a river, for them to go across and have dry land, that's only by the hand of God.
Right.
Now, like I said, you know, it's not really teaching scripture for scripture. This is a self-awareness. You know, where are you busy at? This is what I'm trying to bring out this morning. You know, and as Joshua stood up, he was already looked upon as a great warrior. The people respected him, and they told him, "We will follow you." And it says that if you go back, if you want to turn, you can, to chapter 1, verses 17 and 18. This is pretty serious. It says, "According as we hearken unto Moses in all things, so will we hearken unto thee. Only the Lord thy God be with thee, as he was with Moses." And they knew this, and it showed. He could see it, because being about God's business, it shows. And there's no way you can hide it, even if you try. "Whosoever he be that doeth rebel against thy commandments, and will not hearken unto thy words in all that thou commandest him, he shall be put to death, only to be strong of only to be strong and of good courage." Now, it's, I know that right now don't seem like it's tying in a little bit, but kind of remember that one verse right there, 18. Okay, now here's a good one. Let's go to Joshua chapter 7, verses 20 through 26. There's going to be a lot of this morning, so just bear with me. I hope y'all didn't bring nothing to throw. And we know what goes on here, seeing in the camp. And, you know, I mean, I've been preached to this many a times, and it's nailed me many a times. But this morning, it's not the sin that I want you to look at. It's the busyness of everybody else because of what happened and what led to it. And also what happened to him and his family. Okay, now, what's really going on here, what I feel like the Lord's wanting me to do is, as a church, we got to be busy. We know that. You got to be passing tracts, knocking on doors, doing God's work. But also, you also got to be busy about what's going on in the church. You got to be aware of what people's doing, what the church is doing, what the church needs, and your brothers and sisters. Because prayer is the most powerful weapon that we have other than the Word of God. And that is all through the Bible. Pray. It's the one thing we have, the direct line to God. And in verse 20 through 26, it kind of brings it out. If you look at it in a way that you feel like that you need to be busy about something. It says, and Achan answered Joshua and said, "Indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and this have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wage of gold of fifty shekels weight, then I conceived them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it." It's amazing how people just try to bury it. You know, and a lot of times, if you look at this man right here, he realized, you know by now, he already knows. Even before he even picked it up, that he done something wrong. And by that, if you go back, you realize that was the reason why, and one of the reasons, I ain't going to say sole reason, but that when they went against the little itty-bitty country, if I don't know how to really pronounce that, I always just say a country that they sent 3,000 men to, and it was double the amount of men that was there. They said this would be an easy takeover, because when God gives you work to do, he's not just going to say, "Here, I'm going to do it for you." He wants you to work. That's why when they went to the promised land, they had to take Canaan. They had to go through and fight and win these countries for themselves. But with God going before you, it's going to be done. You don't have to worry about it. And as you read in 7, you realize that this is the one time Joshua, throughout his whole life, has been a man of war. Not never losing, being a great man of war. This is the one time he didn't pray about this. It looked such a little task to him. God put such a little task on him that he just blew it off. So I'm just going to go and just take this ain't no problem. But because him not praying and being with these brothers and sisters and keeping up with what was going on inside of the camp, what happened? Well, when I stop off, And 23 on down is what tells it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent. And behold, it was hid in the tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord. And Joshua and all Israel with him took Achan and the son of Zerah, and the silver and the garments and the wedge of gold, and this is the hard part, his son and his daughters and his oxen and his asses and his sheep and his tent and all that he had. And they brought them unto the valley of Achor, which is pretty rough. And Joshua said, why hast thou troubled us? The Lord shall trouble thee this day. And all Israel stoned him with stones and buried them and burnt them with fire. You know, the Vam is all his possessions, his children, his daughters, everything that was him. You know, I just praise God that now we have an advocate, you know, because with that right there being said, you can kind of look at it. It says, after they had stoned them with stones, and they raised over him a great heap of stones unto this day, so the Lord turned from the fierceness of his anger. Wherefore the name of that place was called the Valley of Achor unto this day. You know, I'm glad the Lord Jesus Christ, God knew that we needed him that much, because without him coming and completing the word, and not to be served, but to serve us, because if he wouldn't have had, that right there still be going on today. You know, I mean, God don't mess around. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And there's a reason for it, because he cannot dwell sin in one of his most desires. And you see it, that's why his word is before us this day. He wants to dwell with us. He wants us to be with him. But as you look at this, like I said, Joshua didn't pray about this one little battle. And before I move on, you know, there's a few things God put on my heart that even though, no matter how little you think it is or how big the job may be, being a deacon is not an easy thing. Being a pastor is even worse. You know, I don't know about it, but if you just step out God's business, that won't happen. It'd be from 8 on. The rest of Joshua, from what I can understand, never lost another battle. When he went before anybody, he took them. That was the end of it right there. Because he had man to pray about it, and he kept up with his people then. And the reason why is because, well, it's just like that last time I went to Larry to Oklahoma. He told me, Frank, you're going to have to save up at least $1,700. You know, this is something I want to do, and I'm still going to do on my own. And it takes, if you want something bad enough, you'll do it like this. Because you just can't be sent out by a church just because it's your want. You got to prove to church and show God that this is what you're going to do, and be faithful and found accountable of what you do. And that's what happened to Joshua there one time over such a little thing. He dropped his guard. He wasn't found faithful. He wasn't found accountable. And he lost it. He lost 3,000 men that day. Not only did they turn and run, but the man of the other country run after him and killed him. He lost 3,000 men. As a little thing as being busy can do that to a church, it'll shut it down. And it will shut it down, and then everybody. And it's not a fault. It's self-awareness. You got to be aware of what you want to do for God and what God wants you to do. Because if you don't, as little thing as it seems to be, it'll shut your whole life down. You know, and unity starts with one person. Unity in a church can grow with one person, and before you know it, the whole church itself will be well, what God would have it to be. And that's the most important thing here. Because that's proven in the book of Joshua. Here, he took a man off the battlefield, and you know he's a fierce man. You just don't stick a sword in somebody's hand or a gun and put him on the battlefield as a warrior And then take them out from in it and expect them to be just meek and kind and willing to do whatever your brother needs to be done in a nice way, because he wasn't trained like that. That ain't been his life for however long it has been. God done that to Joshua. And what I mean, as far as the whole ordeal here is, well, let's turn to Luke 10. You know, and self-aware, being busy. God's going to give you time to do everything you need to do, but He wants you to do what He has for you also. And He'll give you time of it. Yeah. Now this right here was something I had to learn myself. It really helped me when I went out there. And I kind of want to give this little bit of testimony before I go on with this, and that way you'll kind of see where I'm going with this. But we went out there, and Larry told me that they already had water into the building. And it was partially plumbed. I wouldn't have a whole lot of plumbing to do. I could move on from that and help do other things. Well, by the time we got there, there wasn't a bit of plumbing down in that place. The pipes was, and it was run from the state tap up to the building, and that's as far as it went. We had to finish digging about a 20-foot ditch to get it on into the building, and then draw up blueprints and figure out what he wanted and how he wanted it, and then to get it all done. And I know this is a good verse. Everybody knows this, 33 and 37. It's about the good Samaritan, about the third one. Because we know that the man here, he was robbed, he was beat down, he was left laying. And as you read through Luke right there, he's telling us that how the two left him behind, but the one Samaritan. And it starts in 33. It says, but a Samaritan, as he journeyed, so he's about his own day, doing his own thing, he had his own stuff that was going on, came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Only if God lives in you that can you have a compassion on somebody that's already laying there. You know, there's a lot of people say, you just got a good soul, you just got this, and you just got that, and I can understand. And there are a lot of people out there. But, you know, I'm not wanting to get you to see this morning that, you know, that is just a part of your life, because it's not. You know, with this here, I'm talking to the Christian. Because in 34 it says, and he went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow, when he departed, he took out two pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise.
Yes, right.
You know, and that Samaritan right there, it's like when I was saying, you know, about that building. I could have finished that building. I was working. We was putting 10, 11, 12, 13 hours a day in. And if you ever done any plumbing, it's not no big deal. The pump pumps it up and the waste runs downhill. It's not a big thing. You know, but the thing of it is, even this one Samaritan right here, he was the right man for the job. Because as soon as he got there, he knew what to do. He knew how to take care of his man, where to take him, and was getting him back on his feet. But if you read, he had to leave. God didn't want him to finish that job. But, so he done where I've talked to some people about this. I think this is a little controversy. I'm still wondering about it myself, but maybe he went that extra mile. He left money behind, and he even said, if you spend more money to take care of this man, when I come back through, I will repay you. And that's just the hand of God. If you're willing to step out like that, God's going to go before you and make the way for you to have all that you need.
Right.
So it's important. It's important to do what God will have you to do. But You gotta make time, even in your busy lifestyle, that there's going to be a moment and time that He's going to put something in front of you. And it's going to be a cramping in what you're doing. It could be to go talk to somebody, to come and check what is the church doing, or do you just know that somebody needs some help, whether it be a lost man or a saved man. But one thing for sure, God's going to have up there for many reasons. I'm not here to teach this morning about the reason, but it's about to be in the busy part.
Right.
Because there was two men that passed this guy. Now they was busy, but they was bound under Satan's yoke. They didn't care. They walked to the other side. They went away. They didn't want to have nothing to do with it.
Right.
But because this one man, you know, it don't say, but you can, as in the end times here as we live, we know that God bless that man.
Yeah.
You know, I don't think he's spoken of in the Bible no more. His name's not even given. But one thing for sure, as long as he kept busy about God's business, he didn't have nothing else to worry about. And that is for a fact. And stay busy. Why? Why should you stay busy? I mean, why should you? You know, you get saved. If you believe the Word of God, you know once saved, always saved. I mean, you know, it's right here, it's written. Either you believe it or you don't. And if you would, just go ahead and turn to 1 Corinthians 4:4. It'll take me a minute, my old Bible, to get there. But why should we stay busy? You know? And when you do stay busy, one thing for sure, there's going to be people you're going to have to live behind. It's going to be close friends, family, brothers and sisters. And it's hard. It is hard to watch them go by. Especially the lost ones, you know, because you know where they're going. And there ain't nothing or anything that you personally can do, even being busy about God's Word, that's going to change it. Because if a man don't come to know God in his own shoe leather, it's nothing but just a profession. And here in 1 Corinthians, I'm going to read 1 through 4 and just kind of back up and go through it a little bit. But Paul's saying, he says, let a man so account of us as of the ministers of Christ and stewards of the ministry of God. But with me, it is a very small thing that I should be judged of you or of man's judgment. Yea, I judge not my own self. For I know nothing by myself, yet am I not justified, but he that judges me is the Lord. You know, and as you go through this, you know, first thing is, you know, let a man show accountable. It's how a man will look at us as a steward. You know, I mean, from the preacher right down to the people sitting in the pews, we're all stewards, we're all called laborers, we all have a ministry, we all got work and things to be busy at. You know, because God give us all a burden. And that's to get out there and to spread His gospel. Because without the gospel, hell is just going to get even larger, even more. And hell was not made for man. It was made for our fallen angels.
Right.
And that's just the way it's going to be. You know, I mean, that's the way it is. Either as a Christian, if God truly lives in you, and even if He don't, it's part of man's life. You know, not all. Believe me, I know some, but all they want to do is just lay around and do nothing. But there again, there's more. But know that they got to get up and do something. A lot of them, without having the gospel, they ain't going to know what's right or wrong, which way to go or what to do, because they're blind. They're just blind to everything that's right. And when you go to the second verse, it's pretty much it's moreover, it's required in stewards that a man be found faithful. Well, how can you be found faithful staying busy? Well, right here is something really important. Like I said, self-awareness. There ain't one way. And You don't do it for show. It'll be seen. What you got to do is be found faithful, reading God's word, believing it, living it, and your faithful will be seen. There's no way to hide it, because you're not trying to hide it, because you're not worried about it being seen. You're not trying to paint a picture that as soon as God sends a little bit of rain, it's going to wash it away. There's a reason for it. And who's it going to be seen by? Well, your church, my lost people, because they're going to know who you was beforehand and see who you are now, and more likely they ain't going to want nothing to do with you, because that's, you know, they know who you was. They got something to hold, they think, to hold on to you, to hold you down. You just got to go on. You just got to go out and work. You got to go out and do things. You got to be willing to go across the state to come to church and, you know, come to the deacon. What's going on this week? You know, if you got ideas, to give them to him. And because, you know, you never know. That idea you got might be for someone else to do. Then again, it might be for you to do. But you got to be self-aware. And the only way to be self-aware is stay in God's Word, because He'll speak to you through His Word. But if you're not praying, trying to stay open to Him, you're never going to know. You're never going to be able to reach out and be sensitive and hear a small, still voice. It don't come in the ears. It comes from inside. That way, there's God don't speak to your ears. It speaks to your heart. And the third verse of this scripture here is pretty much self-explanatory. You know, we're going to be judged, bottom line, here on earth. You can either call it judgment or you can call it persecution. Either way, it is, they're both right words for this particular scripture, because you're going to be judged. You're going to be judged by everyone and everyone. You're going to even be judged by your own brothers and sisters. And they got a right to look for your fruit and to judge within themselves, not to judge you, but to give them direction, whether it be right or wrong. The unsaved, if you mess up and get caught, you're going to the courtroom. You're going to be judged there, but by the people, we elect these people to be there to do this job. So it ain't like they're trying to say, I'm better than you. They was elected to be able to be put there. But, and I like this, but the main thing of it is that if you're a Christian, number four gives you the justification to be busy about God's work. It's for I know nothing by myself. Because you're not going to try to do it by yourself. You know you can't. You know you can't plow the field. You can plow the field. You can plant the seed. That's as far as you can go. And yet I am not hereby, or yet am I not hereby justified through the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, you are. We are today. Then he was justified by God himself, because he was a priest. There's a difference here. But we can have the same justification. And we're given the same justification under one drop of blood. You know, Lord Jesus Christ built that bridge for us with three nails and two pieces of wood. It comes from here all the way to heaven, right straight in front of the throne room. You got to be bold to be there, or you're not going to be heard. It's simple as that. First, and with that right there, you know now that you got justification. You know how to receive it. And you know what to do with it. Now let's go to 2 Corinthians, mirror image, 4:4. Why do I have to stay busy? Why do I need to continuously be doing something? Why should I go out? Why should I take such time to pray? Why should I be interested in what's going on in the church? Why should I be interested about that mean old neighbor I got's always playing loud music and having all kinds of parties and never, never, ever wanting to get along with me? Well, there's a reason for it. There's a reason for it. In 4:4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. That's us. That's us. Because from the day of birth, from the day we come out of our mom's womb, you're blinded. You're born into sin. You don't know no better, and it's nice. I lived it for 38 years, and it was something else. I didn't think there was no other way to live. Boy, I was all up in it. it's that right there just kind of brings it out, and you're like, well, you know, we know this. We know that what we got to do, you know, and it's hard to do. The body's weak. The flesh wants to be fed. You gotta beat it back. Because if you don't, it's all you're going to be is, well, you're not going to be about God's business. And as a Christian, even doing everything you possibly can, if you're not doing what's written, you're bound under Satan's yoke. Because they are no partly. They are no, if you're lukewarm, it's going to spew you from his mouth. You either are or you ain't. I know I've heard it many times. There ain't no sitting on the fence. But there ain't no fence to it. You're either going for the Lord or you're going for the devil.
Right.
There ain't no purgatory. There ain't no standing still. And like I said a little while ago, you know, as a fast-moving river, if you get off the wayside, then God will come looking for you. He'll leave the 99 and come looking for you. But what kind of trash are you going to get in your mind by then? You know, and that's going to be a thorn in your side. And it's hard to be able to move past such things. But if you don't, believe me, you can be sin in the camp. You know, it's hard to say such things, but it's true. I mean, how can one person be doing something wrong, shut a church down? Or a person? It's not the shutting of the church down, but you can be putting burdens on your brothers and sisters that don't need to be, or not helping somebody. It can go so many ways. It's, you know, that you could sit right there for a long time. But you know, back in chapter 1 verse 5, you don't have to turn to it, but it says, for as the sufferings of Christ abound in us. So right there, you know, it's you're going to suffer. But just know he done it first. So our consolation also abideth by Christ. Even though we're going through it, trying to do everything we can. You know, and I sort of believe this is what put me in the hospital last time, because I'm still a young Christian, and I know it, and I'm still learning, and hopefully I'll always learn. To know the whole Bible, it's impossible. But you can apply it. You can read it, come to know it, and it seems like every time you read it, it gives you more to know. And 1 Corinthians, verse 12, I know we're kind of jumping back, but there's a reason for it, you know. You know, Paul was telling us that being busy about God's work is going to be hard. Ain't no doubt about it. And it's going to be easy to be one way or the other, but without, we have an advocate. We're going to mess up. It says that in the Bible. It's written. But through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we can have strength, we can have liberty, and we can have the power of God on us. We're going to slip up. We're going to mess up. You know, God can be there dwelling with you, and just the wrong thought hits your mind, and he's gone. But that don't mean he's leaving you. He just can't dwell with that thought. But in 1:12, it says, now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am an apostle, and I am Cephas, and I of Christ. With all those other men and everything that he just mentioned in that, there's one there that does it all. The one that called him, you know, because we know what Paul was. We know the story of Paul. But it is Christ. And I of Christ. He knows that Christ does it all, and he's chasing after him. You know, and there's going to be people, they're going to glorify in our failures. And that's what they look for. They don't look for nothing else. But you know, as you're doing the work of God, and you're doing the best you can, being spirit led, self-dead to please God, that you're bearing fruit. And you know, we all know that once you die here, you can't take nothing with you. But once you do die here, there will be something that follows you to heaven. And that's your works, your fruit. I mean, there's no doubt into that. Because if you want to, then once I get done with this, I'll be done. If you want to, turn to Revelation 14, verses 13. That, it says, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, and that's just a direct command, write, blessings are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. He saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors, and their works do follow them. Now, if you know that by the time you get to 14, the rapture is done had. You know, it's basically 14 is the Lamb and the 144,000. But you know, I feel like God would never let this been written and been put in our hands unless He's trying to tell us that everything you do to gain is going to do you no good. But everything you do to grow fruit, that's going to be the one thing that follows you to heaven. And that's going to be the one and only thing that you can take with you to heaven. Man, you can't even take it because it's going to be following you. You know, I just hope y'all got fed from this as much as I did. You know, it's because to be self-aware how easy it is to be busy about your own way and day, and there's nothing wrong with that. The Samaritan proved that, but you never know. When God's going to put something on you, it may come as a small, still voice. Maybe something that you turn the corner and see. But the only way that you're going to be knowing that you're being about God's business is staying in prayer. Staying close to God. There's all kinds of things about this. It's just that you got to be aware of what busy you're busy. Are you busy about God's business? Or are you bound under Satan's yoke and you just don't realize it? You got to be self-aware. Brother Kevin, I appreciate you giving me the chance to teach. I hope you all fed from it as I did, because he gave me plenty of time to study for it.